Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. So today we are going to talk about becoming, but before we talk about that, I want to tell you about the success of one of my clients. I actually worked with this client about a year ago. We stopped working together maybe about 6 months ago. I just touched in with her, touched base with her to see how she was doing. She's doing great. But I want to tell you about the success she had. So her and I started working together. When we started working together, her hemoglobin A1C, which is a measure, of course, of your diabetes, your blood sugars, was 10.4. So a hemoglobin A1C to be quote-unquote normal, like non-diabetic, should be 5.6 or less. Anything above 6.4 is considered full-blown diabetes. Pre-diabetes is this 5.7 to 6.4 range. The hemoglobin A1C tells me what your blood sugars have been, an average of what your blood sugars have been over the last 3 months. So you can't fake it. So somebody who walks into their doctor's office and is like bringing their fasting blood sugar log and they all look fabulous. They look fabulous because you haven't eaten all day or you haven't eaten overnight and your fasting blood sugars look great. Well, that's wonderful, but that's not necessarily reflective of what your blood sugars are the rest of the day, right? So you can kind of fake it out. But with the hemoglobin A1Cs, you really can't fake it out. I know what your blood sugar has been doing for the last 3 months because of this number. So Jess's hemoglobin A1C started out at 10.4 when her and I started working together. She really buckled down and got serious about it. Over about 4 to 6 months, she dropped her hemoglobin A1C from 10.4 to 6.4, certainly right at that pre-diabetic range. She had lost about 50 pounds at that point. Her and I touched base recently. She's doing well. She's still working at it. It still takes effort. Certainly, she still has to focus on watching what she eats, planning what she eats, and keeping her word to herself. But she has had fabulous results from this work, recognizing that it isn't the food necessarily. Yes, the food makes us diabetic, but why do we continue to eat things that make us sick is really the question at hand. When we know they're making us sick, why do I continue to have birthday cake at my nephew's birthday party? Why do I continue to have M&Ms at work for no reason at all other than I'm having a bad day? Those are the questions that really get to the heart of the matter and get to a fix, a true fix of changing your eating habits and turning your diabetes around. So congrats to Jess. She's done great work. This is what I'm talking about when we talk about the work. It's possible. It's amazing. I'm going to continue to share success stories with you guys. So if you have been implementing these recommendations that I make for reversing your type 2 diabetes, you've been seeing weight loss, you've been seeing your blood sugars drop, please post it on my Facebook page. I will certainly be spreading the word about your success as well as all my other people who've had fabulous results with this. So today we are going to talk about becoming a person who doesn't have type 2 diabetes. Becoming a person who doesn't do daily finger sticks. And if you do decide to take your blood sugar every day, a fasting blood sugar, it's not because you have to produce it to your doctor. You're doing it because you just want to prove to yourself that you're a rock star and still doing the job right. You want to prove to yourself, yeah, I've made some changes. I'm going to show myself. I'm going to prove to myself that these changes are real. I'm going to check my blood sugar today. Ah, look at there, 79, winning. That's what I want to talk about, becoming that person. So when you are sitting at one point in your life and you want to make changes and those changes seem huge and that mountain seems tall, you see the other person. You have this idea of who that person is that you'll become, but don't always have a clear idea of the things that that person does differently. Maybe you have the idea to stick their finger as much as I do now. That person doesn't shoot insulin into their body like I do now. Maybe you've got some clear ideas of that. But the skill set that person who's achieved this goal has and the lessons that that person has learned, that's what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to use the example of parenting, of becoming a parent. We see this in all other areas of our life, many other areas of our life. If you obtained a skill set for your career through a trade school or through a college education, right? The person you were prior to that grad or the person you are 5 years into your career, those are different people, right? You see it when kids graduate high school and go on to college, right? That first year, those freshmen, that sophomore year, those kids aren't horribly independent, but certainly we hope by the end of their senior year, they are independent of their parents. Their parents aren't having to pay their bills and make all these financial decisions because they're an adult, right? There was a knowledge base that they gained in those 4 or 5 years, and there was a skill set that they gained in those 4 or 5 years. Same thing with your career. There's a knowledge base that you gain to become a functional worker in your field, and then there's also a skill set that you gain. So parenting's a great example. So if you think of the non-parent 5 years prior to having children, what are they doing? Things that they do. They don't have to worry so much about their finances because they don't have to be, they don't think of themselves as being responsible for other people, right? It's just me. So if I want to blow the electricity bill money and go and spend it on a pair of shoes or go on a shopping spree and instead of spending it on the electricity bill, I'm really the only one that suffers on that. Is it irresponsible? Heck yeah, it's irresponsible. But it's not like somebody else is going to go without hot water or somebody else is going to get nagged at or somebody's going to get sick and suddenly I don't have the money for the electricity bill or the medicine to get them better, right? It's not something you think about before you have kids. Other things that you do, like you can sleep all day Saturday. There's no reason for you to get up. If you work 9 to 5 on Monday through Friday and you don't have kids on Saturday, there's no reason for you to get up necessarily, right? You can do whatever you want. You can stay out Friday night drinking with your friends. And if you have a hangover Saturday morning, if you've got a headache, who cares? You can sleep till 11 or noon. There's nothing to get up for. There is a knowledge base about how time management works that you gain as a parent. And there's also a skill set of money management. Sometimes the knowledge base and the skill set goes together, but certainly you look at an individual 5 years after having a child, right? 5 years after having a child, you really feel the importance. You understand the necessity of having money shelled away. If your kids need shoes, if your kid throws their shoe out the window and you don't realize it as you're driving down the road and suddenly your kids don't have enough, you know, a pair of shoes to wear every day. You understand that if your kid gets sick or wakes up in the middle of the night ill and you have to take him to the emergency room, not only are you going to have to pay for medication possibly for their ear infection, but you may also have to pay a pretty hefty copay at the emergency room. And you do this because this is what we do as parents to take care of our kids. You gain the skill set of managing your money, of managing your time, of learning how to enroll your children in things like preschool and real school, right? That's not something you knew 5 years before having kids, right? This is stuff you learn along the way to become that parent at 5 years that has your crap together, your kid enrolled in school, that they're not running fevers, that you don't feel like you can't take your kid to the emergency room when they're sick because you don't have the money to pay the copay. You're not that person, right? Because you've learned the skill set of taking care of your finances and you've planned for these unforeseen things. The other thing, you don't go out on a Friday night usually. Most parents that I know, we aren't out on Friday nights until 2 o'clock in the morning shutting down a bar. Do you know why? Because I know my 3-year-olds are going to be up at the butt crack of dawn. And I am not going to want to be up at the butt crack of dawn if I went to bed at 2:30. And I'm really not going to want to be up at the butt crack of dawn if I went to bed at 2:30 after drinking a 6-pack of beer. So we don't do that. We probably tried this once or twice as a parent. We're like, maybe I can leave them with mom and dad and I can go out. Well, then you have to get up exhausted with a headache and go and take care of your kids. And you don't show up as the parent you want to be. Or maybe you had a sitter and you went out with your friends. Maybe you drank a bottle of wine and maybe you stayed out too late. The sitter went home and you're at home to take care of your kids in the morning. All seems fine, but you're like, nah, I'm just going to let them get up and do their thing. They'll watch a movie. I'll stay in bed. It's going to be fine. Until the first time you wake up and your children have written all over your walls with a black magic marker or made some colossal mess that now you have to clean up. Again, fatigued, tired, exhausted, and with a headache, right? These are lessons that we learn as parents that just doesn't cut it. We don't show up as the parent we want to be, and we don't feel well, right? This is all something you learn in the process of becoming that parent at 5 years versus the person you were 5 years pre-kids, right? You can't. There is no rapid fire button to get you through those hard parts, right? There is nothing, no magic wand to be waved. There's no pill to be taken to make this easy. You just have to learn those lessons, and most of us have to learn them the hard way. So what I want to offer to you is the person that you are today, starting out diabetic, sticking your finger, taking medications, possibly using insulin once, if not 4 or 5 times a day. This person that you are today and that person you are going to be, the one that doesn't do these things, that no longer needs insulin or medications, no longer needs to watch their blood sugars so closely, that person, there is a skill set and a knowledge base that you have to achieve, that you have to acquire between here and that point. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the difference. Everybody wants to know the hows because they think it's going to be the quick way, right? I mean, like if you went and asked your mom, hey, how do I be a parent? They're like, you're going to go to bed early on a Friday night. You're going to get up early on a Saturday so your kids don't make great messes. And you're like, oh, okay, whatever. You didn't do it. Everybody who's asked any parent for any advice would get this kind of information, man. Sleep when your kids sleep. Go to bed. Take care of yourself. All these other things, right? You get told these things. Put away for your kids' college. You get told all of these things. But it's not until you actually experience the importance of that lesson that you ever actually absorb that lesson, that you really truly put it into meaningful use in your life. You have to go through that experience. And it's the same thing with living a healthy life. I can tell you, well, you cut out processed foods, you cut out sugary foods, you eat foods in their natural form. I can tell you all of that, but until you see the comparison of how your blood sugars are affected when you eat pasta versus when you eat a salad, until you see that, you're not going to make those changes. You're not going to believe that lesson. Other things that you have to learn how to do. You have to learn how to go and navigate parties. You're no longer the person that sits at the food table and just grazes the whole time. You're no longer the person that will sit and eat for 6 hours straight at a Super Bowl party or at a Christmas party. You're no longer the person that at every office birthday party, you're sitting there with a piece of cake. You're just not that person anymore. The person who has their diabetes managed naturally, they don't do those things. That's not the person you are at that point. And you have to figure out how you're going to navigate those situations, how you're going to navigate those scenarios. And the only way you do it is by doing it. Right? So there's going to be 2 or 3 Christmas parties. The first 2 or 3 that you try to go to, you're going to be like, yep, I'm not going to eat any of that junk. And then there you're going to be eating the store-bought crappy green and red sprinkled cookies that don't even taste that good. You're going to be there eating them at least once, maybe twice before you're like, okay, I got to get a better plan. I got to fix this. So how you manage work events, how you learn to journal and start planning. All of that is lesson learned, skill set obtained, okay? So what I like to teach this to my clients is this is a life coaching term. It's called the river of misery. And we look at it like a river. So you are standing on one bank of the river and you're looking across that river at that future version of yourself, at that goal you'd like to achieve, at that person you want to become. And you have to cross this river to get to that person. You will look up the river as far as you can, and you will look down the river as far as you can, and you will pray for a boat or a bridge or a vine you can swing across like Tarzan. You will pray for something to help you across this, because this river looks like something colossal to you, like something you don't know that you can do. It looks wide. You don't know how deep it is. It looks cold, and the current looks strong. And you don't want to get into that river. You will sit on the current bank that you are on, and you will try to find every reason that there's another way. You will try to find every reason why you don't have to do this. But there will be something inside of you that drives you, that inner core integrity, to becoming that person who's on the other side of the bank. Inside you, you know deep down, you've got to cross this river, and that it's going to be wet, and it's going to be cold, and it's going to be scary. And you will go to cross this river. This is just what you sign up to do. Becoming that person who is no longer diabetic and no longer using insulin and no longer sticking their finger, no longer on tons of meds. Becoming that person involves getting wet. It probably will involve slipping on some rocks. It may involve getting your head dunked underwater once, maybe twice. It will involve being cold. It will involve a strong current that at some point you're very scared is going to take you under. It will feel dangerous. It will feel lonely. And you'll get about 60% through. And you'll realize it's just too scary to go on, but you're closer to the other edge and you don't know what to do. Do I go backwards? Do I go forwards? I don't know. I'm just scared and I don't know where to go from here. Sometimes you will sit in that position where the current's strong and the water's cold and you're scared, and you'll sit there for months because you're not sure what you should do. And you're not sure if you're strong enough to go on. You're not sure if the right way is to go back to using insulin all the time, go back to using meds, go back to sticking your finger 3 or 4 times a day. You don't know what the right answer is. And you're going to have to make a decision in that point. Do I go forward? Do I go backwards? But it will be scary. And here's the deal. When you sign up to become this new person, when you sign up in your head that this is what I want to do, I want to become this new person, when you sign up for that, this is what you're signing up for. We're signing up to become a non-diabetic. That's what I'm signing up for. It's going to be awesome. We only see rainbows and daisies and fireworks. We don't see the scary, wet, cold current. We certainly don't see the slippery rocks beneath the water's surface. We don't see any of that. We only see what we want to become. And that's like, yeah, I totally want to become that. We don't realize the hard work that goes into it. Sometimes we're like, yeah, I know it's going to be cold. That's fine. That's fine. It'll be cold water. I get it. But I will guarantee you, you don't realize how strong the current can be, how slippery the rocks can be. You weren't banking on the fact that your head was going to go underwater once or twice. But it will. That's part of the journey. That is part of the process. In that process of getting across the river, you learn things. You learn where the river's actually really deep and where it's not. You learn that although water, river water, can look smooth on the top, the current can be very strong deep below it. You learn that rocks can be slippery. You learn what slippery rocks look like and what slippery rocks or stable rocks look like. You learn all sorts of things in that process that allow you to get across the river, to become that person. And once you've become that person, and you go on about your life living as a non-diabetic, the next time you come up across something and you're like, I don't want to be this way anymore. I want to become something better. I want to become something bigger. I want to become something different. You've learned how to navigate that river already. It's going to be easier that next time you go through. But you're never going to get to the other side of that river unless you get wet, you put your feet in, and you start the walk. And you're willing to be uncomfortable. You're willing to do those hard things. You're willing to not know and to figure it out. That's part of it. Nobody tells us this about parenting, right? We're all like, I wish kids came with a manual. I remember saying that. But honestly, there were times, especially with my older son, who's now 21, and he's a great kid, and he's got a great heart, and I love him so dearly. But there were times that kid broke my heart. He broke my heart. And had I known, had somebody told me when I got pregnant with him that it was going to be so heartbreaking, I don't know that I would dove into that, right? I don't know. It would have been really hard. I didn't know how hard parenting was going to be. I had no idea. And nobody could have told me either, right? And that's the thing. I can sit here and prep you for this walk, for this journey, for this crossing of the river, for the becoming of somebody else. But there is nothing like walking it yourself and living it and figuring out and doing the work that's so meaningful and so moving in your life. There's no way to prep you for it. But it is nice to have a coach to walk you through. And certainly that's what I do with my clients. That's what we do. This is the work we do. Again, everybody knows what they should eat. Everybody knows if you're diabetic, stop eating cake. Don't eat the bread. Stay away from cookies and candy. It's simple. Everybody knows that. It's the hard work of why you keep doing it. And that's where we work. In coaching. That's what I do as a life coach for my clients. So I hope you find this helpful. I hope you find this helpful, this whole work on becoming and recognizing what that means. I hope if you feel like this is something you want to do, but that journey sounds scary for you, the walk across the river sounds cold and wet and really terrifying to you, I hope if that's the case, you will reach out to a coach. You can certainly send me an email to delaine@delainemd.com. We can set up some time for a consult. Hopefully you'll find help in my podcast, so keep listening to those. And certainly, hey guys, if you have been implementing some of these changes and seeing some of these fabulous health changes in your life, and even personal changes in your relationships, in your work life, in all of those things, put it out there on Facebook. Let me know. Send me a private message if you don't want to tell anybody about it. I want to hear the great changes that are going on in your life because this work is amazing. I know it personally, and I've seen it in tons of clients. So I want to hear about it. It warms my heart. I hope you found this helpful. I will be back with you next week. Have a great week. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.